Welcome to House Talk on News Radio WHAM 1180. This show is a weekly conversation about all the things you should know when buying, selling, or maintaining your home. Join in with your comments or questions. Call or text 222-1180 or 800-295-1180. Now, live from the News Radio WHAM 1180 studios in downtown Rochester, here are your hosts, Jeff Schofield, Mike Reed, and Andrew Schwert.
Welcome back, everybody, to House Talk, and happy Memorial Day. We're here to answer your questions, listen to any comments you might have, and you can reach us at 222-1180. I'm Jeff Schofield with RE/MAX Plus.
And Mike Reed with All County Inspection Services.
I'm Jamie Messner from Premium Mortgage.
Now, one of the things I wanted to bring up this year, I'll bet 70% of my listings that I've taken have been estate sales, people going into nursing homes, and relocation clients, and all because they don't have to worry about finding a place to go to. What I find, and I would encourage everybody out there, if you've got a loved one, younger, older, family member, make sure they have a will and make sure that they've got a power of attorney set up, because that could make a huge difference. If you don't have a will, and I'm not going to get into the legal aspects of this, but if you don't have a will, you're going to be maintaining that house and paying the RG&E and having the lawn mowed for a lot longer than if you have a will set up. And it's also less frustrating, because I've sold over the years where somebody said, it's an estate sale, they list it, my buyer buys it, and I realize they're only in the early stages. And then the closing gets delayed. Mike, we were talking off air about, you know, my home maintenance. I've told you about, you know, I've got about a half a dozen projects, and I keep saying I'm going to get after that. And, you know, my girlfriend kind of rolls her eyes and, you know, go, yeah, come on. And I thought, well, I'd like to at least give myself the benefit of the doubt that I will get some of this stuff done. We had talked about, and I've got a deck. You've been to my house. I've got a deck with an overhang, and in the corner, the gutter leaks, you know, where it goes out to the rest of the back of the house. And it leaked last year, and I said, I got to fix that, and I didn't. And I've never had the gutters cleaned, let alone get in there and fix it. So I was thinking, well, that's something I could do. I could put a stepladder up there. But then I look, and I go, well, then again, it goes for the drop off the deck, you know, because it's a walkout basement. And I go, well, then I got to get an extension ladder to get to the other part. So I'm like, well, okay, I think I'm just going to have Mike take care of that. Then we talked about the deck and stuff. So, you know, what I talked to you about is, could I schedule your maintenance crew, you know, giving myself the benefit of the doubt, for the end of September to have, you know, like dedicate a guy there for a day and take care of these projects? Is that something you do?
Yep, that's something that our All County Home Improvements Division does. We do a lot of that. And it's really a handyman service. We also, you know, remodel kitchens and baths and all that kind of stuff. But we have the handyman service, and we do a time and materials type of thing where, you know, we've got you there for the day with your punch list, and we go through the whole thing. The other thing that we have started doing recently is after a long conversation with our insurance agent, you know, being a general contractor or what are we going to do? If we wind up general contracting something out, which means we sign a contract to do something like your kitchen or your bathroom, then we sub it out to somebody, our insurance goes up by about 17%. So what we have started doing is doing a project called Oversee It through International Association of Home Inspectors, where we help you find the contractors and break down that construction ease that confuses people. So in your scenario, we may go in there and look at the gutters and go, you know, yeah, the gutters are the symptom of the problem, but you have an insulation and ventilation issue in the attic that goes beyond, you know, Mike showing up with a handful of guys doing some work, and you really need to have an insulation company come in. And when I say that to you, your eyes are going to gloss over, and you're going to think, I'm just not going to do it. And the icicle is going to come back next year. But what we do is we then, for a flat fee with you, we do all of that legwork for you. Find the right people, write the scope of work, write the request for proposal as to here's what we want done, how we want it solved, bring that contract to you. And that contract is between you and that contractor, not us. We're not in the middle as GCs. We're just a consultant to help you understand all of the processes of what you need, so you're not being oversold. You know, because that happens a lot. You know, good contractors are really good salesmen, and they'll sell you the platinum package if you're willing to break open your checkbook. So we do both of those things. We can help you understand what the big projects, and we can take care of the small projects.
So. I'd prefer the bronze package.
Yeah, the bronze package quite often. If you're only gonna live in your house for 3 to 5 more years, well, maybe the bronze package is what you want, and the new person coming in wants the platinum package. And why put the money in that house that you're fully intended leaving in 2 years, 3 years? Fix it. Make it work. That way the next person can come in and they're not undoing what you did because they don't like your style. So we do a lot of that.
Nice. And another topic that we had talked about, moss on a roof. I mean, unless you're in Scotland, you've got a thatch roof and you're built to the side of a hill, we don't really like moss on a roof. What are the negative consequences when you go up to a house and you see, hey, they've got moss growing on the dark side of the roof, and what problems can that cause other than possibly mold and mildew inside, leaky roof, and how do you get rid of that?
Well, I mean, moss growing on a roof is an indication that it's not drying effectively. That's the symptom of the problem, and the problem is, why is this not drying? Is it the angle of the sun on that corner of the house? Is it the trees overhanging the house? There's a lot of reasons why. Also, is there a ventilation issue on the bottom side of it so it's not getting circulation underneath so it allows it to dry? So there's a lot of those negatives. But let's just assume that it is the trees, you're in a wooded lot, you got trees, sun just doesn't get on it. So the consequences of moss on a roof is it degrades the surface quicker. It degrades the surface of the shingles faster. And there are things you can do to get rid of it, but the one thing you should never do is power wash your roof. We get that all of the time. Actually, let me restate that. Unless your roof is garbage and you're trying to show the house and it looks nicer, we had a roof that we power washed because the garage was actively leaking in multiple places. And everybody knew it needed a new roof. It was in the disclosure saying we need a new roof, but it looked awful. So we power washed the roof. It was already junk. It's got to be replaced, but it made a difference for the real estate agent to say, hey, look, we can make this look prettier by getting rid of the roof or the mold off the roof. And there's a lot of products out there you just spray on there, and you'll see the moss turn like an orange and then brown, and then 2 or 3 weeks later it falls off your roof with rain. The problems with moss and mold are the same thing as if you get up there and you start scrubbing it off. It shortens the life of the roof. The other thing that I'll throw out there, because this just happened to a client of ours last week, their insurance company came to him and said, you have too much moss on your roof. You have to just get rid of it. You have to replace your roof. These were people that had bought a house without an inspection. We did a post-closing inspection for them. And it did not need to have the roof replaced. It did have moss on one side, so a company went up and cleaned it. We were able to write a statement saying that that it was now moss-free, and it was not 80% life of use was 80% or less. And they were able to get their insurance before they couldn't. The insurance companies wouldn't touch them. So it's important if you have moss on your roof to especially if you're just buying the house without an inspection. They're going to send out an insurance adjuster, and he drives down the street and he snaps pictures from the road, doesn't get on the roof, made a determination to replace that roof from sitting on the curb. So we were able to save them tens of thousands of dollars by getting it cleaned for them. So moss on a roof is a big deal. It's just got to be taken care of.
Yeah, the insurance companies create a lot of hassle for homeowners. I mean, I remember one of the homes I bought one time, you spend this an enormous amount of money on closing costs and everything else, and you're sitting there and you're thinking about, we got to have the inside painted, we got to have the hardwood floors refinished, and then I get a notice that my insurance is getting canceled because they don't like my basement windows.
And that one client that we had, that was one of the multiple things. One of the other things was there was a old grill in the backyard, like one of those barbecue grills somebody made in the 70s out of concrete, and it's just kind of ugly sitting back there. Nothing wrong with it, it's just not being used. They told them that it was debris and trash and refuse in the corner, and they had to get rid of it or they wouldn't get insurance. Like, it's old concrete grill in the back corner that they have to bust up now. Would have not been called out a regular home inspection, would not be called out by a real estate agent. A mortgage company would have ignored the fact that it was there because it doesn't matter. The insurance company said you have to get rid of it.
And that was just from a drive-by?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
The whole estate type sales, and a lot of times people will go into a nursing home or they're living with relatives and the house will sit empty for quite a period of time, And that would be a good time for him to have at least somebody like you or even me come in and tell him to winterize, you know, call Mike, have the house winterized, you know, make sure that you keep the power on so the sump pump doesn't quit working. And, you know, they don't maintain themselves just by locking the door and walking away.
Yeah, it's amazing how fast a house that doesn't have someone living in it will degrade. You would think that it wouldn't, but I don't know what the laws of physics on it are, but there's something that makes a house that's vacant deteriorate faster than one that's lived in. And it's like you said, you know, somebody will lose power and then the sump pump shuts off and nobody thinks about that. Well, nobody's living there, just turn the power off at RG&E. Well, that's great till the basement fills with water. And now what do you do? You've got a basement full of water. We see a lot of that. So definitely keep, at least get it winterized and keep the electricity on. Don't shut the electric off. You know, leave the sump pumps and any ventilation circulation, moving air through the house so you don't get mold growing.
Yeah, and they sell these. I mean, I've had a family that took, well, it looks like we're headed towards a break, so we'll continue shortly.
Welcome back to House Talk on News Radio WHAM 1180. I'm Mike with All County Inspection Services. You can reach us here at 222-1180. That's a 222-1180. Or if you had some questions for my office specifically, 585-773-4001. We'll talk to...
Yeah, Mike, we were talking again last week. You know, we don't have any normal conversations.
Never.
Yeah. You know, Mike was out yesterday on his boat, you know, telling him getting it ready so you could be out tomorrow and today. Yep. And but we never talk about that stuff. We just talk about houses.
Yeah.
So, you know, several years ago, I had a client. I sold him the house probably 10 years prior, and it had a finished basement. And they actually had an inspector done, but, you know, they decided, okay, I'm going to redo the basement. Excuse me, I stand corrected. It wasn't finished, but it had the insulation going all the way down. So they pull out the insulation. The contractor pulls out the insulation and goes, uh-oh, we have a problem. And he ended up having to hire somebody to come in and put mesh. And it was kind of sad. I've got an estate sale right now that we're selling, that we're going to be selling the house. And when I looked at it initially and talked to the folks, it was piled. Floor, high boxes everywhere. You know, the previous owner had a lot of stuff. And they had a couple questions, you know, on stuff that should be repaired. So you went over, and by the time you went over, they had cleared out most of it. Well, you went over there to do the clean out. That's how you found out about it. And you cleaned out the basement, and lo and behold, hidden that I didn't see is they have some foundation issues. Mm. So we dug into that deeper. Why don't you tell us about some of the remedies for when people have cracks, bowing, you know. I know that, you know, I mean, I've had clients, contractors that used to flip homes and they backhoed out the basement. They went down the entire wall, dug a trench and put a new basement and I guess a footer, but they probably wouldn't put a new footer in. What do you do if you have a structural issue in a basement wall?
See, Jeff likes pushing me down the rabbit hole and then gets overwhelmed with how boring the rabbit hole is. Because guys like me see it, and it's exciting because we understand the hidden process. We'll jump on it in two different chunks. One is water penetrating your basement / basement damage. The first one is any horizontal crack that you see that's about halfway up a wall is caused by hydrostatic pressure. And it's usually center is what it's called. So the middle of the length of the wall and the height of the wall, you're going to see a horizontal crack. That horizontal crack means that there's a lot of pressure, earth, or most likely in our area, water, pushing against the foundation. It means they have inadequate drainage around the footers because the water can't get around it, and eventually it pushes in. Those are fixable with usually, and this is not engineering advice. You should always start with an engineer because they'll give you a plan. That horizontal crack can be temporarily fixed if it is carbon fiber stayed and it hasn't begun to bow. Once it begins to bow to a certain level, it's past the point of no return. And one of two things needs to happen. One, you dig around the outside of the house, you jack up the foundation wall and put a new foundation and foundation footer in. The other thing would be to build a wall in front of the existing wall with its own footer, and that outside wall just becomes a you know, a filler. The downside is that it's not very aesthetically pleasing. You got another wall. You lose square footage in the house. And you can't waterproof the basement as well as you could have before. So once you get to that horizontal cracking, it all depends on what your investment return is going to be. You know?
Let me ask you a question on the horizontal cracking. If you dug out behind the wall, technically could the wall be pushed back in, remortared?
No.
With a drain?
No. So they would have to repair that wall because once it begins to lean, you could never get it back to its original place. There's some other techniques that I had a contractor telling you about that I thought was fascinating, and I don't know the engineering specs of it, where they core drill the top of every block and fill the block with a concrete slurry, and then it hardens and it replaces the digging out of the foundation. This was a basement contractor, so I don't know what kind of engineering facts are behind that, but it sounds pretty interesting to basically make a concrete basement by filling all the holes. Then there's another thing that you'll see that are always scary. They're called step cracks, and you see, it looks like a set of steps down your blocks. And there's usually a mirrored crack, so it's on the other side. So you have the exact same thing happening. So what's happened is your footer has settled. And the best engineering advice on that I just got from an engineer was fill it with normal masonry, you know, product repairs, and then monitor it. If it settles again, it moves again, then you have to put in what are called helical piers to lift it up. So the question with step cracking is, was it a one-time event or is it an ongoing event? So it can get pricey to repair foundations. So always start with an engineer because you don't know what your contractor is going to give you price-wise. An engineer is going to be $300 for his, $300 to $400 for his opinion, and if they have to write up a plan, you're going to probably be around $1,000. So it's well worth doing it right and not, you know, 15 years later having to do it again. Finishing a basement to live in, if you've got no structural issues, is a completely different animal.
Can I interrupt just for a minute, though?
Sure.
With the piers, because I've been in homes before where you'll see they have, it looks like about a 2-foot by 2-foot half wall built right inside the basement. Is that what that was?
That was an attempt to stabilize the wall, yes. Some engineers will tell you, and again, that's where the engineer will come in and tell you, is that adequate for your repair? Sometimes it is, sometimes it is not. So again, the engineer, that's all based on math. They get out their tape measures and their calculators, and they now start telling you what everything means. And even guys like me, eyes glass over, because they go down a rabbit hole that's even boring to me.
I didn't know that was possible. So going on with the structural, that the first house that I had sold and they tore the insulation down, would have there been any way with like modern technology other than pulling it back and then reattaching it, which if you're doing an engineer's inspection on somebody else's house, they really don't want you tearing open stuff. You know, are there any infrared, any type of thing where you can...
Yeah, you can pick up clues and symptoms of problems through thermal imaging and some measurements and things like that. Looks like we are heading back out to another break on News Radio WHAM 1180, 222-1180.
Welcome back to House Talk on WHAM 1180. Give us a call, 222-1180.
Mike, continuing on with the basement conversation, give us like the basics. I mean, I've finished off basements before, and I'm 100% sure I did it incorrectly. Like, do you put the wall up against the basement wall? Do you leave a room for air to circulate?
Yeah, you should leave the new wall about 2 inches off the existing wall, and that gives air circulation around there. It also stops condensation between the two dissimilar materials, like wood on concrete. You're going to get water to condense in there, even if there's no leaks. It's just the dissimilar materials wind up, you know, condensing differently, so you wind up with a liquid moisture. The biggest thing is inward drying. You want to allow moisture and humidity that's coming in from the earth that's outside, that's transmitting through your walls, evaporating into your house to continue through. When you put, you know, fiberglass insulation bats and things like that that have the ability to absorb water, you wind up with mold. So there are a lot of very specific insulations that were designed for basements, along with, you know, treated lumbers, metals, putting in isolation barriers. All of those things are important. So just, you know, a homeowner project is probably not something you should take on. If you decide you want to, go to our website or give us a call at the office, ACHIWNY.com. That's the initials of All County Home Inspections, Western New York. We have a diagram that we can either send you or you can pull off our website with all the proper components to use. It's a diagram. So when you're having your basement contractor come in, you're going to redo it yourself. Make sure these are the components that are used. More importantly is to make sure the utility work is done first. If you've got, you know, an old cast iron floor drain that runs through, picks up your sewer lines, things like that, replace them. You know, put them in and replace them now. But it's nothing worse than finishing your basement and then all of a sudden a year later your plumber has to come in and undo your new finished basement to put in the plumbing that was, you know, 60 years old that should have been replaced.
The other bad part about that is you have to listen to the contractor berate whoever he thinks you had do the basement. You're like, you should sue this guy that did it. And then the homeowner's like, well, don't tell my wife that.
My favorite is when your home inspector should have caught that. Your home inspector should have. Well, I can't see through the walls. There's a TV show that Mike Holmes on Homes. He does a home inspection reno show. I watch it, and it's great TV, but you didn't catch it, Mr. Holmes, until you ripped the wall down, and I'm sure the current owner wouldn't let me rip the wall down. So that's always funny to watch. So we get that call all the time. Why did you miss this? Well, if you remember, there was a wall in the way. If you remember, they had parked a car over that crack in the driveway. They put carpet down in their garage, and then they parked their cars in it. You know, what you can't see, you can't inspect. So,
permits in basements. You know, that's a big deal right now because, A, you know, you could shoot yourself in the foot or the next buyer in the foot. You can sell a house that you never had a permit for the finished basement. You know, but a lot of times now what towns are doing is they get access to the MLS and they look and they go, oh, you got a finished basement. This house just sold. It has a finished basement. You know, Marjorie, did they have a permit for that finished basement? You know, and then all of a sudden they're calling the agents to verify. Can we see pictures of it? And if you've got a really nice finished basement, of course you got pictures of it. And then the new homeowner gets the surprise.
Well, and it's never the, you know, guy who just did it on a Saturday afternoon. It's the professionally finished basement. So, you know, and the reason people don't pull the permits is they don't want to pay the taxes on it.
Right.
You know, we added living space.
Assessment.
Yeah, we added living space, so therefore it costs more money. So my recommendation would be it's just, you know, it's just worth pulling the permits because you make the house worth more. And when the house is worth more, eventually you'll recover it. Eventually, you'll reach out to a person like Jamie and refinance the house. And of course, you're going to talk about the finished basement because it's added value. Or you've got the new buyer coming in saying, well, it has this beautiful finished basement with a second bathroom and a third bathroom. You at the other end are going to sell that house and benefit from it. So, you know, pay the few extra bucks in taxes and not have to worry about all that. And then you're worried every time something comes up where you're going to have to get a permit. So, you know, you didn't finish your basement, and then you have to replace your electrical panel, and you need to get a permit for that because RG&E won't turn your power back on. Well, the town inspector is going to be walking through your new finished basement. You don't think he doesn't get in his car and look that up? You know, when did they finish this basement? When did we pull a permit on that? So
there's been lawsuits where people have bought a home with a finished basement, but it wasn't permitted, you know, or they finished the basement, and then they have a fire. And the insurance company refuses to pay because they go, you didn't have a permit for this. Yeah. You know, we're not covering it because a fire happened in the basement because of faulty electrical.
You know, and even if it's not that severe that you have a fire, you had a small flood, they just look at it and say, we won't cover that flood because it's in a finished basement. We didn't have a finished basement on this house. So you now got to take care of it all on your own. You know, you just got to tear it all out and start from square one. We run into that a lot when we're doing the inspections on some sewer scopes and things like that, or people just get a wet spot in a corner and we go in with a thermal imager and you realize the wet spot is actually, you know, 12 feet long and 6 feet high and they're just seeing it leaking in the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
how do you remedy that as like a new homeowner that found out there's no permits on certain things?
I mean, I call Mike.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just that we get to deliver really bad news all the time. We get to tell people there really isn't a way to remedy it without starting all over and doing it properly. And then you have to undo what was done before so you can redo what you already had.
So, wow.
Yeah, because that towns are pretty nice about it when it's an honest mistake. If you go a little bit, your scope of work's a little bit goes too far, you do some things over time, you know, you can plead ignorance because you really were, and the towns are more forgiving. But if they come in and they realize that you have been for the last 5, 6, 10 years purposefully manipulating the system, then they follow the letter of the law very strict. You know, yeah, we have to remove all the drywall so we can inspect the insulation, or we can inspect the insulation. We have to inspect the electric. We have to inspect the gas line that's hidden. Like, they don't give any grace when you purposely worked your way around the system. You get no grace.
That makes sense.
So if somebody, if one of the listeners out there has a finished basement and they know they never had a permit for it, they can hire you to come out and do that.
We won't get the permit, but we can work our way through the process with the town. Because, you know, you make the phone call and you say, hey, we have a basement we realized we don't have a permit on. What are our steps? What do we do? The town is towns are, for the most part, are pretty forgiving for that and will help you work through it. But if they discover it when they walk in because they're, you know, inspecting a flood or an electrical panel that was upgraded, they're a lot less forgiving. So, yes, we do a lot of that work with our consultation business and our oversee it programs.
So let's say somebody's going to finish off a basement. They're going to spend $20,000, add a bathroom, put some drywall up, carpet it. You know, what would a permit in average?
The permits are a couple $100. You know, and I mean, the electrical permits, I'll use a Rondaquit because I just did the work there, was $75.
So if they find out that you've got a finished basement and you go through that process, my understanding is they charge you like three times that. But what still isn't astronomical. It's not like you're getting a $10,000 fine.
Right, but that's true. They charge you that larger number, but quite often they make you undo things so they can see it. Because they can't give you the permit if they can't see it.
You're basically pulling
down drywall and insulation and, you know, getting it to where they can see the substructure so they can then give you that permit telling you everything is right.
And you've been through, I mean, I've been through that process with clients before where the buyer said, yeah, I understand you don't have a permit. I'm only buying this, not in the last 3 years, but I'm only going to buy this if you get the permit. And, you know, they don't make you gut the house. They open up walls so
correct.
They can see, you know, okay, yeah, you don't have every electrical outlet's in a box.
Right. Yep. And you've covered your nailing plates are in place, so your wires are far enough back so you can't accidentally drive a screw or nail through it.
All right. When we come back, let's let Jamie tell us a little bit about financing and what people should be doing now. Welcome back, everyone. I think we pretty much finished the basement, haven't
we? Yeah, we did.
Jamie, I have a question. Now is we're, you know, getting towards the end of the hot spring market. There's still a lot of buyers have lost five deals, you know, still looking. So, you know, they're waiting for homes to come on the market. But what are some refresher things they should do now?
Yeah, so we've seen a lot of that where people have either like exited the market for a while, they wanted to wait and they're coming back, or they've been searching and haven't been able to find anything. So their pre-approvals are expiring, which means that the credit documentation that we've pulled for them, income documentation that we've gathered for them, is no longer valid because it's over, you know, a certain amount of days old. So what I go over with my buyers is that I want them to know that we'll need to refresh your credit in about 120 days from the first time that we pulled it. So that's depending on program. A majority of them they have a 4-month window where we could use that credit report pulled for 120 days. We also want to make sure that if they get a raise or say they come into, you know, more money for closing or they save more, we want to update that in real time, even if before their credit documents expire. We want to know about that because that will affect how much they qualify for. But we also want to make sure there are some do not do things that they don't do, you know, so we want to make sure they don't spend any of that money because that could have a huge impact on what they qualify for if they no longer have the funds to support closing on a purchase price that they were originally pre-approved for. We want to make sure they don't co-sign for anybody. You know, if you've got like a parent who's thinking about helping their kid get their first car, we want to make sure you don't do something like that while you're going through the process, even after you're under contract and before you close, because that could have an impact on either your debt-to-income ratio, because we have to add that payment in now to your DTI, and then also it could affect your credit score. You know, want to make sure you don't quit your job. Or if you change your job, just, you know, or if you have a job opportunity come up, just, you know, let us know, because if there's a different pay structure involved, or if, you know, you decide that, you know, you're working for somebody, you want to go out on your own and start your own company, that could, that'll put a huge wrench in the process, because we don't have enough background of self-employment income in order to use your income towards qualifying. And then also, you know, don't make any large purchases, don't make any large deposits, large withdrawals in your bank accounts, because those will all be questioned eventually by underwriting as well. So this is stuff to keep in mind while you're still pre-approved and out there shopping, but also once you're under contract and before you close, just keep those things in mind and don't mess with your credit, spend your money, just hang out for a while.
Over the past 30 years, I've had probably at least 6-8 deals die during the holiday season because somebody would come into like a use Sears, you know, old example. But, you know, they go into Sears and they go, well, you know, we got a free umbrella because we signed up for a Sears, you know, charge card.
Right.
And now all of a sudden they're, you know, their potential danger they could get into with overcharging stuff, rule them out of the mortgage market.
Right. And we understand, you know, sometimes things happen. There's things that come up that are completely out of your control. You do need a new car, or you do need to spend money on repairs for something, and there's no way around that. But that's something definitely you want to talk to your loan officer about, to let them know that's happening, because it will come up eventually. So you want to make sure that it's still, it doesn't take you out of contention for what you're already pre-approved for, doesn't change those numbers for you, and also that you have, you know, have, we have knowledge of that, so we can note it and be prepared to ask for additional information if we need to.
I've gotten a couple calls recently from people looking for homes to flip, and, you know, they'll ask, you know, like, well, what are some anomalies that, you know, hurt value? And especially people that are not familiar with the neighborhoods that they're looking in. And so I made a list of them. You know, you want to look at school districts. I can't tell you what school districts are good or bad. I'm guessing ChatGPT probably can give you a ratio. We have school reports we get from the DNC and send out to clients each year if they're interested. And then it's up to you to analyze, you know, how do you read the data? Train tracks, homes back into railroad tracks. You know, if you get, you know, if you're real close, it can be a drawback. Or in our area, the wall along 490, you know, 590. If you back to the wall, that has an effect. High tension lines. You know, some of the homes, you know, right on Turtle Creek, you know, have these high tension lines right behind them.
And we looked at a house in Webster a few years back, and that 104 corridor, I thought we were a good mile and a half away from it. You go in the backyard, and that sounded like you were sitting on the highway. Yeah. You had never thought of it until you were there. At night, it's quiet. So if you're looking at your house at 4:30, 5 o'clock at night, quiet. But there in the middle of the day, it was like being by a speedway.
And it is funny, like being, you know, road noise. I mean, being on a main roads, you know, being on a corner lot. But just road noise itself. You know, they talk about different parts of Victor. You got the quiet side or the, you know, expressway side. And I always find it amazing because people will, you know, turn up their noses at homes that have road noise. And I guess that concludes us for today, doesn't it?
Yep.
We look forward to having you back and joining us next week. This is Jeff Schofield. I can be reached at 600-5333.
Mike with All County Inspection Services, 585-773-4001.
And I'm Jamie Messner with Premium Mortgage, 585-944-8876.